This is GKW. Welcome to another edition of Good Karma Wrestling with the whole gang back together. I'm Gabe Neitzel from ESPN Milwaukee, from ESPN West Palm. He is Brian Rowitz, and check him out, ESPN 1000 in Chicago. Hopefully his connection is better than Matt Eberflus's was on his show on Monday. He is Jonathan Hood. All right, boys.
On both accounts, our lines are bad. His phone line... and our offensive line, but thanks for asking.
Some control over there, Hood. Jeez.
I'm glad we got that out of the way.
I love going viral here on GKW. I'll carry the company, pal.
Yeah. Oh, hey. He's our Cody Rhodes. Uh-huh. Right there. So we have war games coming up, and we eventually have gotten to the spot in which we thought we would arrive. OG Bloodline versus the new Solo Sikoa Bloodline. Now, there was some thought, potentially, oh, maybe they'll just do four-on-four war games. No, they are doing the traditional five-on-five war games, and this past Monday on Raw, the teams did some recruiting. Now, I think we can all see the direction in which it's currently heading, but if you had the pencil, if you were Hunter Hearst Helmsley, if you were the chief creative officer, how would you actually book the Mystery Men for the upcoming War Games match between the two bloodlines?
Well, the first call that I make is The Rock. Are you busy? Hello, Rock. You busy? Want to see what's going on with him.
He's got another movie that apparently looks like it's going to be tanking. So
yeah, which is probably good news for wrestling fans. So we have that to look forward to.
You know what? Because we're wrestling fans, full-time Rock. Fine for us, right?
I'm cool.
Hey, if you're struggling at the box office, we know that you have a home in WWE. Whatever you like to do, backstage, you like to wrestle, you want whatever it is, you want to be in vignettes, whatever. So I think the first call is to The Rock to see if he's available in Vancouver. The next thing is that I'm wondering about CM Punk. What's going on with CM? Now, he has nothing to do with either side of this. I'm just wondering his health, Ryan, and want to know if he's available.
That would be an interesting one. It would give him something to do. I think he was hurt. I think he was just taking time off after the Drew stuff. I will say, though, I am enjoying the way the recruiting is going and people acknowledging the truth. Like, Sammy going up to someone like Rollins and be like, why the hell would I help Roman? Like, and playing into that, I have enjoyed that over the past week or so.
Well, I mean, anybody who decides to help Roman, don't they have to fear the potential wrath of Kevin Owens?
Yeah.
Like, Sammy joining up, like, he's going to have to answer to Kevin Owens eventually. If Seth Rollins, again, it kind of seems like maybe that's the direction that they could potentially be heading, maybe that ends up, we'll see. But, I think you have to start with The Rock, and that's where I kind of started, because I wanted to do it from a common sense perspective of, okay, so who would actually help Roman? Like, I think you can do it pretty easily from the other side, like, who would want to continue to bury Roman? To me, if you wanted to do something incredibly interesting, like on the Solo Sikoa side, maybe that, you have the return of Paul Heyman, and with the return of Paul Heyman, he brings back Brock Lesnar. And you have Brock Lesnar as the fifth for not the OG bloodline, Paul Heyman, again, because Paul Heyman cannot be a babyface in any situation. He has to be a heel just by associating yourself with him. You become a heel. It's the way it's been in WWE for literally a decade at this point, if not longer than that. So I think that could be something that's, obviously not going to happen, but if I'm going to fantasy book it, like let's shoot for the biggest names out there to really make this thing interesting.
I think that, at first I thought that we'd get Bronson Reed on one side and Seth on the other.
Honestly, I think that's the direction we're heading.
I don't know, Gabe. I don't know that for sure. I'm just spitballing. I'm just saying, just because the WWE has these really short cards, that even though I'd like to see them one-on-one, Hell in a Cell or no disqualification, try to get this thing over with, I think that some of this could be settled in Hell in a Cell. I just think that because they have small cards, that even though as much as I like to see them one-on-one, I think that part of this whole thing with the bloodline, they could sell their own situation around the bloodline thing. But also it makes the WWE seem small, isn't it? Is there anything else that's an attraction that we want to see outside of this at Survivor Series?
No, and that's why some of the rumors you read is that somehow Cody, because no one cares about anything Cody's doing. But hopefully he stays away from this.
Well, because Cody's going to get KO. Like, they'll do Cody KO.
What if KO goes into this? What if he's on Solo's team?
I think there's a possibility.
Sign me up, man. Like, that I'm down for that. So what, you get KO? I mean, the Bron Breakker thing where Jimmy was talking to Bron backstage at Raw, like, that makes it interesting because Bron Breakker doesn't have a dog in the fight, right? Like, Roman Reigns and his bloodline have burned so many damn people on this run that they had, you know, since 2020, over the last 4 years, they've gone through a lot of people. And I completely understand the people who would be hurt by that and not want to, like Seth Rollins, join teams. So if Seth ends up joining up with Roman and Sammy, like, I think I'm going to be a little disappointed by that because I would rather have Seth stand on principle, unlike Cody, which again, because that didn't really feel great to me in the moment when they did Cody and Roman as a tag team, you know, as a one-time only type thing. I would love for Seth to stand on principle and be like, no, I am not teaming with Roman Reigns.
See, I agree with that. And that's why for me, the only one that makes sense for Roman's team is The Rock. Like, you protect him. He's not really in the match much. I think ultimately he then turns on Roman and we can start down that path of Rock versus Roman. But KO on the heel side, he can, you know, go to the whole thing like, I hate Roman. I hate the bloodline. I can't believe Sammy's doing this. Like, I want to go against them. And he can be a big part of that match. And it makes sense from a storyline standpoint.
And then Cody does what at Survivor Series? Host?
Yeah, there you go.
takes a rock bottom? I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's a real question because he's only the Universal Champion. He's only the QB1 in the face of the company. And here's we go with the musical chairs, right? You would think that Cody Rhodes, if he's not going to defend the championship, and this is where the WWE is, guys. It's like Cody's over here, but not in a hot. If it's not bloodline related, it's kind of cold over here. There is no must see match besides him against KO. And I don't know if we're getting that Survivor Series.
Well, but even that, like, he's ancillary in that piece. In that, like, I mean, I understand his betrayal of KO started the whole thing off, but I mean, Cody's not the one who took a pile driver and, you know, and had to be stretchered off. Like, the money match there that they would eventually build to, like, so if they go KO Cody, Cody's not losing. Like, but the money, but they've built towards KO Randy Orton.
Also, KO Cody is trumped on this card big time by the War Games match.
That's correct. Oh, yeah. Well, someone's got to start the show, pal.
Right. So, like, that's what you're going to, like, you joke about him hosting, but that honestly might make the most sense.
This is going to be another topic at some point of us talking about Cody in this title picture. It's like he's the guy, but not the guy because he's not going to be a main eventer on this show either.
No.
And it's just kind of minimizing the Universal Championship. There is more talk about what Gunther is going to do in his matchup as World Heavyweight Champion than Cody Rhodes. Gunther actually is the hotter champion at this point in time.
Let's go ahead and just talk about it a little bit. How far down the card is he falling in terms of importance at the end of January? Well, I guess it's February 1.
Yeah.
Because February 1, we also found out, because there's advertisement going on, John Cena is going to be at Royal Rumble. Mm-hmm. So you're going to have Cena. We know at some point The Rock is coming back. We have the bloodline in Roman Reigns. Like, so is he 4?
CM Punk. I put Punk above him. Assuming it's a healthy Punk, you put Punk above him. When Rhea comes back healthy, you put her above him.
Mm-hmm.
So at best, he's 6.
It's not his fault.
No.
We've gone through this time and time again about how he has been booked as Universal Champion. It's just, or Undisputed Champion. It's not been great.
No.
Where we can't find a place for him outside of being on one side or the other. And Roman doesn't want to team with Cody again. So it's only one time only. So what if Cody gets back in the mix and is like, yeah, I'll be your fifth man. And then Roman wants to get like, oh, you're not family. Why are you here? You're not. Now we got to go through that again like he did with Sammy.
And that makes Cody look bad. Like, he'd be like, hey, guys, I'll help. Like, it's just.
Yeah, like, hey, Cody. Like, he's just hitching his wagon to the bloodline again to be relevant. Like, that doesn't help. Yeah, you're 100% right. That doesn't help Cody out either. And was it, I mean, Seth, I think, did a interview recently saying, hey, I think we might have a heel problem here.
Yeah. Like,
there's a babyface problem over in AEW. And there's a heel problem in WWE. Like, the biggest heels, well, the biggest heel is now a babyface in Roman, and the biggest heels are fighting Roman. So I don't know what we do there.
Like, I almost would rather Seth be on the heel team and flip Seth. And then you could build him up and he can chase Cody or do something along those lines. I know it doesn't make sense storyline because of Bronson, but like, you need another big heel. KO is going to fill that role, but also everything we've seen from KO from the past 5 years, he's not going to, you know, forgive the pun, finish the story. Like, he's just going to be filler and just for Cody to move on to Roman part 17. Like, it's just very odd right now.
Well, let me just tell you something. In this Triple H era, there is no need to be able to pick up a part-timer to try to fill the bill. There's no need for it, unless it's just a one-off with Goldberg for him to finish his run as wrestler. But my point is that there's, at this time, under Triple H, you have a roster. Utilize your roster. You've got NXT. You want to bring them over? You can have an influx of talent. You're going to have this ID thing. You're going to have bring more talent in. My point is, like, we should not be struggling to find a spot for Cody Rhodes at Survivor Series. That's horrible.
Yeah. Well, also, like, I would be completely cool. Like, I don't know why they need a fifth guy for Survivor Series. Why do they need a fifth guy for War Games? Like, you don't need to. Like, you don't have to. You can make up the rules. Like, you can do literally whatever you want. Like 4-on-4, I think everybody's fine with because it all makes sense. Like, we saw this coming from a mile away, and it was incredibly satisfying on SmackDown for all four of them to be in the ring at the end after it looked like it was going to fall apart to throw the ones up. Like, that was, even though we knew it was going to eventually get there, like, that was satisfying. Now to just ham-fist some fifth member onto both sides, and again, unless we're getting The Rock, and unless, you know, Solo's got some more Samoans, you know, hiding somewhere that he can pull out for a debut, like, just ham-fisting somebody who's currently on the roster just does not make sense. That doesn't have anything to do with Bloodline. Although it just becomes a footnote.
It's also very Vince-like, where you've sort of pinned yourself in this corner that you created. Like, when you put your title on a part-timer, you're like, ah, crap, our champion's not around. Let's give him another title. It's like, oh, man, again? Like, and also you're setting yourself up for disappointment. Like, you talk about who's still there. Like, I believe Hikuleo has been signed for months now.
Correct.
Him showing up as the fifth on Solo's team is a letdown. Like, that's not going to register to fans. Like, he's still someone you're like, I think I've seen that guy. Like, he looks the part, but that's a letdown to where if it's not Dwayne at this point, it's a bad look.
Well, honestly, if they were going to do Hikuleo, like, they should have debuted him a month ago.
Right.
You know, then you can spend that run-up explaining who this guy is, why he's important, the way they have. Again, Jacob Fatu just looks like a badass every time he's on screen, just sitting there holding his, you know, his respectful pose for Solo. It's awesome. It's fantastic. And then if you want to have it 5-on-5, it's just one side scrambling instead of both sides scrambling, right? Like, oh, crap, they've got five. We got to find a fifth. Like, you already have 4-on-4. We don't need to do 5-on-5, man. Like, we don't have to.
Yeah, they're trying to keep the – it's a weird thing because of Survivor Series War Games. It's like – that's two different concepts. Like, Survivor Series is teams of five strive to survive. That's what it was in the 80s and the 90s. And – you know, I've seen War Games 4-on-4. I've seen it in Chicago. So
yeah, that's what I'm saying. We can do it.
Yeah, you can do what you want. I do want to point out something before we move on about Kevin Owens, about what we saw on SmackDown. And I think it's important to bring up that here's Kevin Owens just like a loose cannon. He attacks Randy Orton. They're going back and forth. And there's Kevin Owens putting the pile driver on Randy Orton. It just shows you guys that if you have a move, and it's been banned by the WWE. And, you know, whether it's a great pile driver, bad pile driver, the point is that Kevin put it on Randy Orton. Just think about how great how Cole was and how great Corey Graves was in getting that over. Because I think there's a new audience that did not realize that the pile driver was a banned move. Now, away from AEW and everywhere else where it's just a spot, where it's just a transition spot, in WWE, we have not seen that since CM Punk and John Cena.
CM Punk and Cena.
Yeah, and that was a time where, and by the way, that was not cleared by Vince. It was just kind of desperation by CM Punk. Like, I got to find a way to Cena. How about if I pile drive him? And, like, Vince was apoplectic in the back. Like, I can't believe, what the fuck? Why would you do? It's like, I'm trying to win, pal. I try to do everything I can do. So I just want to point out how great that was for Kevin Owens, where he uses a move we haven't seen in years in WWE. And just the reaction from Randy Orton where, you know, he's spaced out, looks like he's really hurt. So I just think that just advances the personality of Kevin Owens, that he'll do whatever because he wants to get back at Cody and Randy Orton, his friends.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, and look, surprising. I really don't want to get into pile driver discourse the way it just kind of seemed to lose the plot very quickly, shockingly, in the internet wrestling community. Like, yeah, okay, it's a protected move one spot. It's not a protected move in other places. Like, who cares, man? Like, I just...
Well, I mean,
as long as WWE sold it like they did, because to me, it was what really put it over the top was Michael Cole, and not just saying that's a banned move for a reason, but also this man was on the shelf for 18 months with a neck injury. Right. Why would you do that to him? So now it's because if he did a pile driver on Cody Rhodes, it probably doesn't have the same effect. But because we've already had Triple H come out and be like, man, you are on the shelf. Like, it just adds layers to that story of you're on the shelf. I've got to protect you. I'm protecting you from this. This is why I'm not allowing this match. Then he allows the match, and then the match never even happens. And they've been at each other's throats. And now this is the, like, you can fold Triple H back into the story of being distraught because he's, man, I shouldn't have let it get this far. This is on me. I can't believe I let this happen. I knew something bad was going to happen to Randy. And you can fold that back into it because of the seeds that you planted a couple of weeks ago.
I mean, to tie it in, like, you talk about Cody and what we're doing with him, and we've talked about dance partners at Mania. KO versus Orton for the title at Mania gets me more excited than any of the potential Cody matches.
Yeah, I think that because of the heat that's on Kevin Owens, just like any other heel, a heel feels that he's right. And he's laid his case out, like, look, I want to be able to help my friend Cody, and Cody chose Roman. I want to be able to help my guy Randy Orton, and they chose each other and didn't choose me. So I have a right to be pissed off. So I'm just putting over the point that – go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, I agree with Kevin's T-shirt. Kevin's right in this situation.
Uh-huh. Well, I mean, look, heels can be right too. Yeah. But I mean, I prove it every day. But I would just say that it just shows you guys that you can put a side headlock over if you put it over. And that pile driver, just what we saw there, I just thought that was just ringing a bell for a lot of people that says, hey, I mean, this guy will do anything, including a banned move, to get himself over. I just think that that was great. That was the best thing I saw on SmackDown on Friday.
I said a few weeks ago, I said put the belt on KO for a couple weeks. Put it on him. Let him carry it to Mania. You do him and Orton. Cody and Cena at Mania, there's your big, you know, marquee specialty match, and Cody gets a big spot then. I don't think he needs the belt anymore.
Oh, whoa. Okay, so let me, since this is Fantasy Book the Fifth Man for War Games, and now we're fantasy booking WrestleMania. Let's go ahead and fantasy book beyond there. So Orton wins at Mania.
Uh-huh.
And we get Cena Orton at some point for the title.
SummerSlam?
Hmm. God almighty.
You in or out on that?
Yeah.
No, I'd rather not. No.
Really?
Okay, all right.
No.
One more time?
I don't think that Cena needs a championship anymore. Does he need
it? Yeah, but they want to get him. They want to get him to break the record.
Yeah. What?
And the record's not even the record. But
that doesn't matter.
Yes, it does. It does matter.
We're making up numbers. Like, the number we've made up, we need Cena at the top of it, so it's not Flair. Like, that's all that is.
It really is Ric Flair, you know, 2024 or 2025. Just put the title back on him because people need nostalgia. Never mind about the young locker room and you're growing the business.
Don't give Rick any ideas.
I mean, he's going to want to top him. I'm just telling you. Come out there with that purple shirt.
All right. You know what? I will not put the title on Cena if it tempts Ric Flair.
When Ric Flair is NWA champion in 2025, you remember that's your falsehood. When he's wearing that NWA title once again, it's your fault.
You know what? That'd be great. Actually, somebody in NWA would be over. Shout out to Tom Lasseter. Just saying.
It's not wrong. It's not wrong. Yeah. I don't know if he was supposed to say it, but he's not wrong, even though he did say it. We dive into some of the other top stories in the world of professional wrestling. We call it the three count here on GKW. What do we got at number one this week, Brian?
We also found out on SmackDown for the first time there will be a Women's United States champion. Who do you want to see as the first Women's U.S. champ?
So scouring the roster, I came up with two names. And there's one name where I kind of feel it's going to be just because it's kind of odd because she's the only horsewoman that's active right now in the WWE, in Bayley. and I think it could be Bailey. Who I want it to be is Chelsea Green. I feel like this would be a great reward for Chelsea Green because, look, I don't know if Chelsea Green's ever going to be the WWE Women's Champion, the Women's World Champion. I don't know if she'll ever do that. But the work that she has put in since she has been there, however long it's been at this point, has been spectacular. It has been phenomenal. And I think rewarding her with that first ever, being the first ever U.S. Women's Champion in WWE, I think would be a tremendous honor for her and a kind of tip of the cap, like, hey, you have been doing phenomenal work. Here is your reward as the first ever U.S. Women's Champion.
Man, there's a lot of championships. God almighty, a U.S. Women's Championship.
And no word yet on if it's brand exclusive or we'll see it on both shows. So
it should just it should be on all three.
Yeah, I'm guessing it's going to be both shows because they would have done a Women's Intercontinental Championship belt on Monday, right? Wouldn't they? They would have followed it up on Monday with a Women's Intercontinental Championship. Just so I think it's going to be defended on both.
Gabe, just get people over. Right. I mean, just like, we're just slapping championships on everybody. Okay. So I'm thinking it's going to be something outside the box. Some people we haven't seen in a while that come back and be part of this. Like Asuka, for instance. Where's she been?
Yeah.
I mean, she's a Hall of Famer, by the way.
She's been getting stuff stolen on her front porch. That's where she's been.
I have I did not put her on my Hall of Fame ballot for Wrestling Observer. I probably should have when you go back and think before her WWE career and what she's done. I mean, she's been great. I just threw Asuka on there. What's going on with Alexa Bliss lately? She's still waiting to get creative from WWE. She at home?
She posts stuff all the time of her in the ring working.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about these people that's not in the company right now that can make a return and they can be champion to kind of freshen things up.
But that's the thing. Like, I feel like the point of this belt should be to get someone over that isn't in the title picture, because a lot of times we see the same group of people fighting for the actual women's title. I agree. I also wrote down Chelsea Green. The other one I would write down as a chance to elevate right away is if you put on Roxanne Perez, like take the NXT title off her, bring her up and win that. That makes her a star right away.
Yeah. But I mean, to Hood's point, and it's one that I hadn't necessarily thought of. It's interesting, and in one of the interviews was not with somebody within WWE, but within the world of women's professional wrestling. Mm-hmm. What's interesting, when we talked with Chris Statlander, when we talked with Becky Lynch, when we talked with and now I'm forgetting who
Chelsea.
The other one was.
Green.
Yeah. Who said that, hey, one of our goals, it's to be on one of these big shows with not a championship on the line.
Bianca, yeah.
Yeah, that was Bianca. Yes, that's who I was talking about. Yeah. Bianca. Hey, because she's been women's tag champ. She's had all these championships. And honestly, the biggest honor for them at this point would be to tell a meaningful story that is meaningful enough that makes it on the WrestleMania card without a championship.
And yeah, if you look at the women's division in the WWE right now, I feel like the biggest match they can book doesn't need a title. It's Bianca versus Jade.
You'll get it at some point. You'll get it.
Like, will we get it at Mania, or is it going to be a throwaway where it's like, oh, yeah, they broke up, let's do something. Like, those two one-on-one, we saw the reaction at the Rumble earlier this year. Like, that's a moment you don't need a title involved in that at all.
I'm sure this young roster looked at Drew McIntyre and CM Punk and said, wow, look at that.
Yeah.
That's not, the stakes are we want to beat each other's ass, not for a championship. I'm sure this young roster, and this is why a veteran like Chelsea Green or Bianca Belair could tell you, like, they like that more so than, hey, we got championship goal. I'm sure they love being champions.
Sure.
However, it's like these are title matches. But what about something that is, you know, lasts? Kind of like with the Bloodline. Perfect example. Mm-hmm. It's something that lasts the test of time. And so I totally get this. I was just outside the box thinking about them, like Alexa and Asuka. And I was also wrote down Sonya Deville. Somebody in one of these factions has to be able to get a championship. There's too many factions that don't, not even in the title picture. They're just wrestling. Because we just saw the Sonya Deville group. What's it called?
Pure Fusion Collective.
There you go. Good. You win trivia night.
That's it. Yeah, that's very good. We can all go home now.
Why I was able to pull that off, I don't know. But they're the Pure Fusion Collective.
All right. I'm glad you said that because I was going Catch Republic on you there for a second. So, good on you, pal.
Yeah, I mean... I think that they definitely have enough, I think, where they, you know, could make this, but tell more meaningful stories first, right? To make this worth it. Because if you think about it right now, like the men's US champ, as much as I love LA Knight and he's here in Milwaukee and he was firing off the double Gatling gun t-shirt cannon that they have inside Fiserv Forum last night, like he's the current US champ and like he was the third wheel of a feud to defend the championship.
Exactly.
Right.
Well, it was needed. Well, Andrade and the young man, what's his
Carmelo?
Name?
Carmelo.
Carmelo. Yeah, they needed something for that feud. It was LA Knight. That's what they needed. That's exactly what they needed for that match.
Yeah. Game seven gets disrupted by LA Knight. And then they have a triple threat for the US championship.
And right? it ends up being the shits, by the way.
Right.
The finish of that.
Yes. But I mean, but then there are times where a mid-card belt just really elevates it, like the way the Intercontinental Championship run we just saw with Gunther, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the way that championship right now looks around Braun Breaker, right? Like that certainly helps. So I understand both sides of it, but yeah, I think I would like to see more women's stories without championships before you go, oh, we need this to tell more women's stories, because I don't think that's necessarily true.
Yeah, because they're even right now with the titles not telling. Like, Liv Morgan doesn't have a story now that Rhea's hurt, and she's the champ on Raw. Like, they're struggling to tell a story with her right now. There's no other contenders around her. There's no other story. She's just part of Judgment Day. Like, that's her story right now.
We need to mark these things down when we really analyze WWE, because this is a Triple H issue. Mm-hmm. Like, we say all we want about Tony Khan and some of these other promoters, but... I think people just kind of look at it and say, oh, WWE is doing well. Look at all the big places they are. And it just kind of just runs automatically. But again, when you think about it, we as fans want to be able to sink our teeth into rivalries, stories. You're going to get good matches to great matches in WWE. But what about Raw and SmackDown? We got to watch this every week, you know? Mm-hmm. We're trying to get ramped up to whatever the elite they have. And it's not – sometimes it's not aesthetically pleasing.
Apparently, it might be going both to 3 hours.
Mm. Don't love that.
Like one of them, I prefer not. Both of them, oh God, please no.
I will say the one interesting thing, apparently during the European tour, they'll be on live on Netflix here in the US.
Yeah,
so a little Monday afternoon Raw, a little Friday afternoon stuff. That'll be good for office productivity.
Mondays will be a holiday now. Well, right. We gotta watch Raw every week.
Me and Hood have morning shows. We'll be fine. Like, right, you're the one, I guess, where it's going to affect you more than it's going to affect us.
Then that's more of just a warning to the ESPN West Palm office that it'll be on in the office. We have a TV.
That's how big this company's been, by the way. I love. We went through the schedule the other week, Gabe. Like, my God, like they're just going international, all international, right up to WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Now WWE's become UFC now. It doesn't matter. They just put shows on to put shows on. Great crowds. There'll be full houses, and Clarksville, West Virginia is just going to be left to the side. they're just not coming to your backyard anymore.
That's Maybe they'll get NXT and the CW.
If they're lucky.
Maybe.
If they're lucky.
Sometimes I watch that show and I don't get NXT on the CW, and I'm watching it. So I don't get it, and I'm watching it.
What do we got at number two this week, Brian?
Kurt Angle in an interview with WrestleZone was talking about Baron Corbin being released this month. Said, quote, "It's a little disappointing to know that he beat a legend at WrestleMania in the legend's last match, and they didn't really do much with him after that." So basically calling it a waste. So what are some of the biggest wrestling waste of the last decade?
I mean, for me, there's a runaway winner, and it's not particularly close. I'm wondering if you guys agree, but it's not even close. It's Sting in the WWE. Mm. Sting in the WWE was the biggest bleeping waste of time, because not only did it waste Sting, And you had the crappy match at WrestleMania where you had the NWO come down. And you had the Money in Wars, they broke it out at WrestleMania. Like, no, I didn't care. Like, and then you had Sting get hurt in the match against Seth. So he goes 0-2 in his WWE career. But you also, on top of that, wasted Dolph Ziggler winning the Survivor Series in which Sting debuted. Like, the whole thing was a waste. Like, I was really excited to think, oh, okay, Dolph Ziggler, you can build something off of him with this. Then you've got Sting, you can do, and they did absolutely nothing with the Sting debut at Survivor Series and the subsequent matches that they had to put him eventually into the WWE Hall of Fame. The whole thing was just such a waste and such a disappointment. And as we saw, literally 10 years later, that Sting could still go. Sting still had a purpose. He had a mission. He could do stuff for you, and you just threw it all away.
That is an insane statement, which is 100% true, but the fact that it was a decade later and we still saw that, like, oh, he's got more left in the tank, and that did happen.
The whole thing with Sting, and he got hurt, by the way, by Seth Rollins.
Yes.
On top of that, so they were reckless with him. Yeah, so mm-hmm. they were reckless with an older wrestler on top of that. So I wrote down Dolph Ziggler at the top because Dolph Ziggler, and again, this goes back to the Ken Anderson thing. You do one wrong thing in the Cena era, and you get buried. I know Cena wants to deny it, but whatever Dolph said and whatever he did, this is the reason why that he got buried for the rest of his time there. Now, good on him that he's doing well in TNA as heavyweight champion, but Dolph Ziggler's on top of my list. I thought that Donovan Dijakovic, I think that was a miss by WWE. He's an NXT, big guy like that, New England guy, because I know that Triple H loved people from New England, and they couldn't do anything with a guy like that. Mustafa Ali, I mean, I think that's a name there where they just let him go. He's doing well in the Indies, did well in TNA. There's just a couple of names off the top of my head where WWE, once again, and we've said this many times on GKW, you don't have to cut anyone. Have you seen how much money you make? You don't have to cut anybody. And so those are just a few names from WWE's side that I think is a win or waste.
The one that topped my list, because we talk all the time about WWE, we've talked about today, like struggling to make stars, is the fact that it was Brock that ended the streak. Like, I feel like they stumbled upon the streak. Like, I don't even know if that was on purpose, the fact that it got as big as it did, you know, 20 plus. Mm-hmm. They could have made such a star, like a Dolph, a Dean Ambrose even. Like, hey, if you're the one to beat Taker, Brock didn't need that. Brock's a star no matter what. And to me, they just dropped the ball so much on that. Like, that tops my list.
Yeah, I had written down Dean Ambrose too, because he seemed like he was going to be the breakout star. And honestly, the more I thought about Dean, I think you could really kind of put in the first 5 years, 6 years. I mean, non-bloodline Roman outside of the Shield. I think you could throw that in there too, because non-bloodline Roman got shoved down everybody's throats. Nobody wanted it. It ended with him saying suffer and succotash on an episode of SmackDown as dog food was being thrown into his mouth by Baron Corbin, of all people, if we're going to, you know, that name comes up again. Like, it was, we all saw the potential, but they just couldn't package him the way that they needed to package him to have him connect with the audience. He just had the look that Vince wanted, so Vince shoved him down our throats. And it took him becoming the tribal chief to him becoming an all-time iconic WWE character. I know he main evented so many WrestleManias before that, right? But like, to me, in my mind, Roman Reigns became an all-timer when he became the tribal chief.
Let's go back to Dean Ambrose for a second. Okay, so he was part of the iconic Shield. Mm-hmm. They put the world title on Dean Ambrose when they shouldn't have. I never understood why he was world champion, but he was world champion.
Oh, he was world champion out of the brand split. They had to create another championship because he was world champ. I've always been a Dean Mox guy, so I was excited about it. And I loved him and I loved it. But also, they blew an opportunity. There was the Royal Rumble that Triple H won to win the WWE Championship. I can't remember what year that was. It might have been 15, 16, something like that. They did a special, like, it was a house show that they ended up throwing on the WWE network called Roadblock. And Dean Ambrose wrestled Triple H. Mm-hmm. And they counted 1, 2, 3. Triple H shoulders down, but then, you know, his foot was on the rope, so they waved it off. That place was up for grabs. Place was up for bleeping grabs. Like, people were behind Dean. And when he won the night, he cashed in Money in the Bank, and all three members of the Shield held the WWE Championship in one night. That place went bonkers when he came out to cash in. The crowd was always behind Dean, but then they gave him nothing to work with. They put a gas mask on him and wanted to oh, I got to be inoculated from everybody. Like, the creative they always came up with Dean was such horse crap that's why he left. You see what he's doing now in AEW. Like, I don't know if AEW exists if Jon Moxley's there. If he's not there.
And then they put a lavalier mic on Dean Ambrose and to talk to Stone Cold Steve Austin. How did that work out?
That wasn't great.
Well, that soured, I think, Vince, because you know, he was over, but then couldn't talk. Imagine this Jon Moxley in WWE at that time. Now, that's what we're talking about right there. But he was never going to be that guy, Gabe, Brian. He was never going to be that guy on that level. Shaved head, dangerous, kind of Terry Funk, Dick Slater type guy where he's unpredictable. You don't know what he's going to say. You don't know what he's going to do. That guy in WWE would have been money. But he wasn't that guy. He was still like squirrely and doing things, but they never, is another example of him having the championship, but never really being the guy.
But I think, like, literally every time I see Mox on the mic, I'm like, how did anyone ever script him? Because I think there is something to that, like the Moxleys of the world, the Dolphs of the world, like the guys in the Vince WWE. I don't know if any of them would have made it in that bubble.
He was the voice of the Shield. Like, whenever they did the, and he's talked about how those really weren't scripted, you know, where they would grab the camera and they would kind of have, you know, the Dark Knight shaky camera backstage segments. Like, he was the one doing most of the talking there. And he's just doing kind of some of the stuff that he's doing now. And then once the Shield broke up, yes, they tried to script him a little bit more. Obviously, the match, he didn't have the match he wanted with Brock Lesnar because Lesnar said no to about everything that he wanted to do. Which, again, probably makes sense because Mox is a crazy person. Why would Lesnar want to do a lot of those different things? Like, he was somebody that they just did not know how to use. Was he immature? Certainly at some of that time, like the stuff with the Stone Cold? Certainly. But they also did not know how to use him.
And Xia Li.
Okay.
I'm just giving her a shout out just because it's funny. And you know, she did all these things, this martial arts stuff. And I'm like, you can't go with her. I mean, she was fine. I'm sure that is there someone else outside WWE that we're missing here? Because AEW is just 5 years old, and we can go through chapter and verse of a lot of people like Miro that should be has been a waste. Funny to see Miro, by the way, on the side of a truck. You see that last night on Dynamite? I'm like, you know, he hasn't been around in a year and he's still on a truck.
I will say the one I wrote down for AEW, like the biggest of their waste, is Wardlow. I feel like that's the biggest miss. Like, I don't know if he can go. He's not going to like that AEW style, but that man was over.
But he doesn't have to.
Right.
Did I tell you guys the story about Wardlow? I think I said it on the air, or was it off the air? Oh, well, it's coming on now. The story about Wardlow, like, several times gets the call, need you to come to Collision, pal. Like, okay, come to Collision. Brings his suitcase, comes through the back, goes to the locker room, got nothing for you. So wherever he lives, gets on the plane, works out, brings his gear, got nothing for you twice. That's unbelievable to me. Like, you can't do anything with Wardlow? Right. Really? It's so stop and go that he'll never get over in that company now.
No, because I was there when he won the brass ring. They were in Orlando. Him and MJF were still together. And that reaction is like, oh, people want to see this. And I'm part of it. I'll give AEW the benefit of the doubt. Like, whatever happened with MJF, obviously it played into that because that would have been a big payoff also. But they still just the start and stop, like you said, like just completely dropped the ball there.
Well, he somehow picked up the pieces of him, you know, doing 1,000 powerbomb symphonies to MJF. And then they have nothing for him, right? He picks up those pieces. He makes return. People still love him. He's still incredibly over. He's a part of the Undisputed Kingdom, and now he's not.
And he gets a haircut. You throw a haircut.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about the haircut.
Listen, for everyone listening to this podcast and watching on YouTube, if you have a non-wrestling fan in your family, just set them right next to you and ask the person next to you, which one of these people are the World Heavyweight Champion? And it'll be the people that's not over, I'm sure, right? Set your spouse down and just put on Wardlow. Is he the champion? Nope. He's never on TV. He's not? Nope. Same thing with Brian Cage and all these other guys.
At least Brian Cage is on TV now. He's still losing. Again, I don't know the last time I saw Brian Cage actually win, but, you know, hey, he's on TV at least.
That says a lot, though, doesn't it? I mean, and I know that the company's getting better. I know they're getting better because they're trying to change some things, but it's just some things that are just obvious that if you want to be able to move forward, there's wrestlers that can help you, and you're just not utilizing them.
Yeah, well, when they have somebody like that and they don't know how to use it, I think Brian was talking about it, Brian Danielson, when he was still in WWE, of how he worked in the land of the giants. It was, well, I work here because I stand out. I'm different than everybody else, right? Like, we've got something for everybody over here. And I think AEW needs to embrace that a little bit more. You have to find out a way to use some of these monsters that you have and actually turn them into monsters and make them feared across the roster. Because guess what? I knew Roddy. Oh, Brian Cage is coming out to wrestle Roddy. So, okay, well, guess Roddy's winning. Roddy's going to full gear.
Hey, Lance Archer, everybody dies? Not everybody, just you.
Just you, pal.
Yeah.
Is Brody Lee the only big man they've ever booked well?
That is a yes.
Like
that's a yes.
Archer, yeah. Cage, Miro, Hobbs.
Wardlow. I mean, they've done a little bit with Brody King.
Sure,
little. Like I wouldn't say he's booked well necessarily, but he's probably booked the second best.
Okay, yeah, that's fair.
I love Brody.
You know, because he has a little bit of that. He has a little bit of that protection for House of Black.
Right.
God. In the 80s, he would just been, he'd be making $1 million, $1 million plus. Bill Watts would have put the title on him just because he passes the airport test, right?
Look at
guy, he's got tattoos everywhere. He's a big guy. He moves like a cruiserweight. This is what, this is why people are so enamored with Bam Bam Bigelow back in the day. It's like, how's this big guy doing a cartwheel? How's he able to do these things? Why is he moving? Because he's a unique talent,
right?
That's why. And just like, you just don't bury those guys to the side. Nope. I want my champion to be 180 pounds. Yeah? Okay.
What do we have at number three this week?
All right. Sticking with AEW, last night, Dynamite, we saw the Death Riders seize TBS. And by that, I mean cut a promo. So it's on the break. The Death Rider story is a success if blank.
Tony stops promoting them to do things they're not going to do. Like, just say they're going to be on the show. Like, hey, John Moxley's going to be here. Okay. All you need to put up there. You don't have to say that they're going to seize TBS Superstation. Like, what are we doing? Why are we doing that? And they're just showing up to cut a promo. So I would start there. But the overall Death Rider story is a success if they can get multiple younger people over to set them up for future success in AEW. I think that's the ultimate goal, should be the ultimate goal of the Death Riders.
If they can continue to be must-see on Collision and on AEW Dynamite, the one thing we're seeing as of late is the marrying of both shows. We talked about this a lot on this show, about how Dynamite's over here, but there's no connection to Collision over here, which didn't make sense. If you have storylines leading to a pay-per-view, then why do I have over here Lady Frost wrestling on Collision that has nothing to do with what's happening on Dynamite? It's just like, what is this? So I would say that as long as
Lady Frost gets TV time and Wardlow can't.
Well, I mean, shout out to Lady Frost, but I mean, just like, it's just what it is. Like,
no offense to you, Lady Frost, personally.
No. But you understand the point, right? Like, at least these two stories. And I've been, again, this is over the last, I would say, 3 to 4 weeks that they're putting them on both shows. Mm-hmm. So I just think that if you just continue that momentum, it's interesting. That's for sure. It is interesting to watch how they're going to get are doing this. They have Wheeler Yuta in a position where they could have him on the team or try to kill him at any time.
They almost left him last night.
Like, again, like bait, right? Yeah. So That's why
Darby doesn't just do a swanton bomb into the hood, into the bed of the truck. Wheeler would have been left behind.
Yeah, he would have to hitchhike home.
I like what they had there. Something else too about that audience in Connecticut. We sure it's not Stanford.
Sure, that was Stanford. Rough.
But very sure that it's not Stanford, Connecticut.
Okay,
they will be offended. They will be offended if you call it.
I heard those people in Bridgeport were pissed. They actually finally woke up. Like, wait, we're not in Stanford. We're in Bridgeport. Who cares? You're a lousy crowd. They were a terrible crowd. I don't know why they went there. And here's the thing, I think that crowd, that first of all, it's Connecticut, so it's a WWE crowd. Mm-hmm. If they went to Hartford, if they went to Bridgeport, it's a WWE crowd. It's a WWE state. So I think that it's funny we talk about Dean Ambrose. I think that the fans were cheering. If you notice the John Moxley promo, it was a color by the numbers, basic heel promo. And the fans were like, yeah, I think they were cheering Dean. I think
you recognize that guy.
Like, yeah,
you know what? The gas mask.
You know what? Dean,
the gas mask.
Dean, he just gave a heel promo. He's against the company. Yep, Dean. Great job, Dean. I think the audience was confused right there because that didn't help business at all.
No. And that's the thing. So apparently with the Death Riders, the reports this week is that Mox is booking it all and Tony just sort of gives final approval. So to me, the success is what we talked about a few weeks ago. We talk about Darby, we talk about Orange and how eventually they'll probably be the one to be world champ. I want us to believe that whenever they get there, because we've all said, like, when you look at those two, you're like, I don't really see him as world champ. If we build them up enough to where when they eventually win the title, it's like, all right, that's the right move. Then the whole story is a success to me.
Well, and I trust, again, some of the best stuff that AEW has done in their history, it seems like the wrestlers are in charge, whether it's Bryan Danielson and the way he was able to tell his story, whether it was, and obviously Sting had a lot of say the way he went out. Now, I'm glad that Tony overruled him and said, no, you're winning the tag team championships, because I think that made sense to end his story in AEW.
He did also overrule Bryan to say, you have to win the title.
Are those the best things that he does? Like he overrules and makes people win championships when they don't want to win them?
I think so. That's what we're learning.
Just no, Sting, damn it. You are winning the tag team title. No, Brian, stop it. You're winning the AEW championship. A lot of the best stuff that they've done, it seems like the wrestlers are heavily involved in the story. And I think at this point, most people would trust Mox to be able to get them to a decent enough spot where, I mean, he's talked about it before about how he wants to elevate talents. You know, he wants to elevate Marina Shafir, you know, like he wants to do this, you know, this is what he wants to do. So I trust that he is going to elevate the right people at the right time.
Except Private Party. God almighty.
Yeah.
It doesn't work for me, guys. Sorry. It just, I see them back there in the back and a less of Zay on TV, the better. Just focus on the tag team match, please. Enough. Okay. Yeah. But they're not believable as tag team champions. And by the way, I understand what they're doing. They've been there for 5 years. There's a reason why they haven't won the title in 5 years. I mean, they can go. They're great. But then what else is there besides that?
Yeah. What else feels is like there? It feels like they rushed that decision for some reason. I agree. Like that was one hell of a main event last night, and the constant cuts to Zay saying the same thing over and over again.
I thought they had him that time.
I thought that was it. Yeah. Like,
oh my God. You know how bad that was? Okay. So it's gotta be more than just the talents that we've seen. Is there any other young talents that they could push? Like it's gotta be more than just Private Party and Dark Order. By the way, is Dark Order getting pushed for this? I don't think they are. I think they're just getting run over.
Yeah, no, they're just like kind of there.
They're not there. We got a JD Drake up here last night, so another new face out there.
That is like the old man JD Drake. What are you doing? They're hitting him with chairs. He didn't do anything to anybody.
JD Drake. That's the problem. Yeah. That's the problem. They're trying to clean up AEW from guys like JD Drake.
He hasn't bothered anybody. He's not bothered anybody. That young old man. What is he doing on? I was like, hey, get to Rampage where you belong. Get off my TV. What are you doing here? He's getting time on Dynamite. what the hell is he doing on that? They're like, okay. And by the way, so you hit him with a chair. Does anybody have sympathy for JD Drake? That's why that's stupid.
Sympathy? No, half the audience probably didn't know who that was.
See the point?
Yeah. Hey, I mean, honestly, the crowd there had no idea who he was. Right. I can guarantee you that.
The crowd had no idea AEW was in town. I think that was just a, it's just a miss. I don't know. Not Reading, Pennsylvania is next. It's like, oh my God.
I think also, by the way, you mentioned Marina Shafir. Like, are we going to make a women's star out of this? Because, like, what's the answer to her right now? Well, or she just runs roughshod over everyone.
Well, you don't want the belt. Stat? Around.
That's probably the problem. Yeah, because right now she looks like, we talked about this, Hood, when you weren't around. Like, she looks like, as it's really weird, and I think it's kind of cool that you have this group full with the pound for pound probably strongest wrestler in all of professional wrestling, in Claudio Castagnoli, and yes. Claudio has been that way forever. You have John Moxley looking meaner than ever with the facial hair and the bald head. And yet the enforcer of the group is Marina Shafir. She looks the most intimidating.
Yeah.
Like, she's just walking around. She was using that. Is it a briefcase? I don't know what we're calling it. Whatever the case was, she was using it as a weapon last night, trying to get people off when the attack happened. Like, she's the enforcer of the group.
I like it. The presentation is nice. I just don't want the bell to ring. I think where she's doing right now is fine.
But she wrestles barefoot. That's what got Mox's attention.
That's a mistake. It's a bridge too far. What she's doing right there, white t-shirt, attaché case, that's all you need. Because the presentation looks good. She looks tough. And that's you got Pac there too. I'm so glad we're seeing Pac in consecutive weeks now in AEW. So no, I like it. I like the story of the Death Riders. So we got, at some point we'll make our predictions for Full Gear. Like, Orange probably, because Gabe and I already talked about it, Brian, we don't think that he's going to win.
I agree, but
maybe this extends the story into World's End, flipping the calendar to 2025. And I just hope that the Death Riders stay together, because to me, it's the most must-see thing on the show.
Yeah, I think it needs to build up. I mean, their big stadium show is Globe Life. It's all in, right? I never remember which one it is. Like, you're going, running a baseball stadium.
Are we going?
Sure, why not?
I think we're going.
Like, that's where Mox needs to drop the title. You build it up enough to where it's Darby, to where it's Orange, Garcia. I don't know about Kenny, but like, someone that it's a big moment. And
no,
they,
it can't be. It can't be Kenny. The Bucks can't be the saviors here. Like, that. That's what would make this thing a failure. That's Brock Lesnar ending the streak.
That's fair.
Like, you don't need to get the Bucks over. You don't need to get Kenny over. Hell, I could even probably make an argument. You don't need to get Orange over. He's already over. I could probably say the same thing about Darby Allin. That's where I'm hoping that this thing lasts long enough that it ends up being someone like a Daniel Garcia. Like, somebody who gets just a huge push by stepping up and being the guy that ended up saving AEW from the Death Riders.
Yeah. And like, Mox should be the champ until Texas. And I'm fine with that.
I'm totally fine with that. So are you committing, Gabe? You going?
Yeah.
You could do your ESPN radio hits from Arlington or Dallas. You can just get bring your little kit. Just put the headphones on. It's fine. But I think we all three of us should go, because we got plenty of time. Looks like they're promoting it now. So there's three spots in the press box for us. Yeah, I think it'll be fun.
A lot of seats. Yeah. Well, let's move to news and notes, because there is another show I've already started planting seeds here in the Rowitz household that I sort of maybe want to go to. Friday, December 20th, Ring of Honor Final Battle heads ahead to the Hammerstein Ballroom. They also will tape Collision that night, so AEW makes its debut at the Hammerstein Ballroom. Historic venue.
You're trying to get to New York?
Historic venue.
You're not the ROH guy. Hood's the ROH guy.
The historic venue. It's the ballroom.
I didn't see you rushing to Philly to go watch NXT.
I went for a random indie show whose company, I don't remember who it was, but I was at the ECW arena this year.
That's no excuse. You can't even remember.
I've been in that building. I don't know who I saw. I've been in the building.
I saw Paul Walter Hauser. I saw him.
You're
I saw
drunk.
Sam, man. I'm good to go with my ECW arena. Now onto the ballroom.
December 20th.
Yeah, it's Friday night.
Okay.
No?
New York in December. You're not going to New York in December. I know that's for sure. You'll be watching it at home like the rest of us.
All right.
You're not going. And by the way, smart by AEW. I should say Ring of Honor, but AEW, because they could fill that out. You know it's going to be wild. Every time we've seen a show from there, ECW or WWE, they were there. Wasn't that John Cena? If John Cena wins, One Night Stand, yeah. So great spot for them. Great spot. It should be red hot. It's a smart move.
So you have that to look forward to. Speaking of Cena, was announced this week he will be wrestling at the Royal Rumble 2025 in Indianapolis. No word for sure if he's actually in the Rumble, but he will be part of that show February 1st in Indy.
I got to imagine he's one of the betting favorites. To win the Rumble.
Who's that?
His name, Cena. His name will be in the top five of betting favorites to win the Rumble when we get there. Mm-hmm.
And so he chooses Gunther? Is Gunther to be the champion at that time?
Is that something you want to see?
So the money is in Cody against Cena at WrestleMania? You want to see that? That's a great night one match. Night one.
I mean, those guys will promote the hell out of it. They'll work the talk shows. They'll do all that.
Cody Cena doesn't need a belt, though.
Right.
Well, I agree with you. Oh, no, that's 100%. So you want to see Cena turn heel?
I don't think Cena needs to win the Rumble.
I cannot express to you how much I would love for the WWE to wait until the last couple months of his career to turn John Cena heel. To wait for that long and then, last 2 months, he's going to be a heel.
That would make me so happy.
It would warm my cold wrestling heart.
It would make me so... I mean, just to see a glimpse, that whole thing with Bray Wyatt when he had the NWO shirt. Uh-huh. I think about that at least once a month. Just the idea that John Cena had the NWO shirt on and like, da-da-da-da-da. I was like, yes! Yes! Him as a heel. Yes!
I think he could be a really good heel, by the way. I think he could be a really good heel.
Yeah.
I don't know if we're going to see that.
But if Cody against Cena wins in the promo battle, it would make him a heel. He would kill Cody in the promo battle. Don't you think?
Yeah.
I mean, not the way that he killed Austin Theory, but yeah, he's going to win.
Well, I mean, listen, if it's the Cena that we know, Cena could bury Cody. He's like, I was a champion long before you, and now you're the champion now. But, if you beat me, you beat a legend. If I beat you, yours it never was.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, it'll be something like that, right? It's like, oh my God, your head will explode.
It's like, you get kind of that, the Doctor of Thuganomics, a little bit of edge to Cena. Ooh. Yeah, I think that could be fun.
I don't need to win in the Rumble to do that, though. Like, you can still build towards Cena, Cody.
Look, I don't know if he wins. I'm just telling you right now, he's going to be top five in the odds.
All right.
Well, I mean, come on now. Brian, I think that Cena in the Rumble, he's going to draw like 26 or 27.
Right. And it'll get a reaction. I find it weird they announced it. I know we're going to expect Cena all year, but just make it a surprise?
You got to have Cena at that first draw on Netflix.
Mm. But you can still have him pop up here and there and then like take a month off and then come out in the Rumble, his music hitting. Like, that's a big deal. Now we're going to expect it. I don't know. Takes away from it a little bit.
I love the idea of what it looks like with Cody and Cena. Mm-hmm. That'd be really interesting to see. I don't know the finish. I'm just saying like those two build to a big match would be amazing.
Mm-hmm. Well, Cody might not have anything to do with Survivor Series, but he does have plans this weekend. Announced tonight, he'll be the guest picker on College Game Day. Second time this year, a WWE wrestler will be the picker. Sheamus was one in Ireland for Georgia Tech versus another football team. Cody will be doing it for Georgia versus Tennessee in Athens.
Oh, at least you're still calling them a football team. That's good.
Yeah, I don't know. They were at that time.
So sad.
Good for Cody, man. Like, I think he'll do great. I have no doubt that he'll do great. He'll be able to hack it up. Like, clearly having McAfee a part of game day, to me, is a huge connection for getting some of these WWE guys on.
And an FCC violation. Also, that's part of it as well.
Yeah, McAfee's good at that. But Saban also, he's not free of blame on game day.
That thing is now, that whole language thing on that show. That was a good, wholesome show once upon a time. It doesn't offend us.
Oh, but, I mean, but I, You kidding me?
For three broadcast professionals, though. Yeah. I mean, it's on a regular basis now. Like every week you expect it. It's something. That thing there now, it's raunchy. Take that, Big Noon. You can't do that, Big Noon.
That's right. Will we ever see an AEW guest picker?
I think closer to Big Noon than Game Day. Is that fair?
Okay. Yeah.
Because I feel like one of their TV shows is going to be like on FS1. So they'll have the relationship with Fox, I think, at some point. The Shockwave show. I think that's going to be a Fox or FS1 show. Funny to see Fox back in the wrestling business, by the way.
Yeah, how about that?
I think that's going to happen in 25.
And finally, in news and notes, Speedball Mike Bailey in some headlines. He is no longer listed on the TNA website roster. Reportedly, his contract has expired as of November 1st. He does have one match announced coming up November 30th. WrestleCade in Winston-Salem. It'll be Speedball for Shelton Benjamin for the first time ever.
So Speedball dropped the title in TNA?
Yep.
Okay, so that's why. Well, you know what? Hell of a year. Hell of a year for TNA and hell of a year for Speedball. Yeah, they've had some great crowds, sold-out crowds this year in the post-Scott D'Amore era. So good for TNA. Like, people talk about AEW attendance all the time, rightfully so, because they keep going to these big buildings and drawing the same 2,300 fans. But here's TNA saying, here's we're going to retrofit what we have. Here's a 2,000-seat building. Here's a 1,500-seat building. And we're going to sell it out. It's going to look good on TV. So good for and Mike Bailey, boy. Very impressive this year. He's had some really great matches that I've seen in TNA.
He's one of my favorite parts of Mania Weekend every year because he works basically every indie show in town. Do we see him in the Continental Classic, which was announced will be starting in a few weeks?
Sure, why not? Come on in. So I'll see him in Chicago in a couple of weeks when AEW's here.
That's right. They kicked that off the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, the traditional Chicago show.
Brother, let me tell you something. That Uber is smoking outside for me to run out of the building on the night before Thanksgiving so I can get out of there. Let me tell you something, man. The night before Thanksgiving, the drinking and the like everything, it's wild. I got the Uber waiting. It's like, all right, be right there. I'm out 9:30. Just don't leave me, please. Please don't leave. I got to get out of here before it just goes completely nuts.
You're going to miss out on Ring of Honor, though, that night.
Yeah.
He's got Honor Club. He's fine.
I do have Honor Club. I don't know how to cancel it.
Wait. Oh, so it wasn't just a Japanese thing? You can't cancel the English one either? Well, turns out it wasn't a language barrier.
Wow. Big upset there.
Sad.
What did you guys have for your matches of the week?
Okay. So, Collision, Outrunners against Top Flight.
Oh,
the Outrunners is exactly what I grew up watching, guys. Flexing, tanning. If Jimmy Garvin and Jesse the Ventura were a tag team, they'd be the Outrunners. That's exactly what they are.
What was shocking to me, because they still flash like their AEW record up on the screen. What was shocking to me is that the record was 3-2. I just assumed that they had wrestled more than 5 times on AEW television, as much as I've seen them on television.
It's inaccurate, and it's a lot more losses, by the way. We've seen them as jobbers.
They weren't over maybe then, it was, so it doesn't count.
Yeah, maybe it was 2024 record, but I remember just seeing 3-2. Maybe it was just this year. Maybe it was in the last 5 matches. I don't know. But I saw the record at 3-2. I'm like, I could have sworn they've been on more TV matches than that.
When you find a niche for yourself and say, you know what? We can't get over just as modern wrestlers. Let's take it all the way back to the 80s with the fanny pack and the tan and just like the crazy hair and just the whole flex thing, because that was a big thing in the 80s. Everyone had to flex their biceps. Everyone to show
a handshake. So,
yes, the mega powers handshake. Come on.
Yep.
Come on, Gabe. Give it to me. The old handshake. So, I mean, they're bringing all the stuff back. It's a retro act. And by the way, they can also wrestle.
Yeah, and they're selling merch. So if you're AEW, like, all right, why not?
So
I'll throw you another Collision match, though. Nick Wayne and AR Fox. I think like two guys reminding everyone that they can go.
I got a feeling you saw that live someplace in some
Yeah, probably. Yeah. I felt a little deja vu there.
Who could say for sure? You know, who could say for sure? Maybe he shot in Philadelphia. And who really knows?
Who knows? Maybe.
I will throw one out there from Rampage. Leo Rush versus Commander.
Oh,
the main event. Main event of Rampage was good.
Sky Point to Rampage.
I'm the one person. I'm the one person that's keeping that show alive.
So here's a.
I love the idea.
It's a Rampage. Gabe's going. What's Gabe going to do? He's got to watch it.
I love the idea of Gabe after Friday Night Lights plops down on the couch. He's done his play by play. How's your day, honey? Fine. Got to watch Rampage now. Pass me a beer. Rampage. Still watching.
Yep,
his high school football stuff is done for the day, and he's just opening up a nice adult beverage, and he's sitting down watching Rampage for the show. It's just
well,
amazing.
Here's an upset also. Like anyone watching Rampage is always an upset, even though we know to expect that from Gabe. I have Leo Rush written down also, but from two other matches. I have him versus Swerve from last night on Dynamite, mm-hmm. and him versus Ali from New Japan's Fighting Spirit Unleashed, also Friday night of last week.
Ooh.
A good week for Leo Rush.
Leo felt and took the fall in both matches, right?
He beat Ali. I was very surprised by that. Yes.
Oh.
Wait, is that Ali's first loss?
No, he's, I think recently, because he dropped the X Division title to Speedball, but they were playing up like, oh, Leo's never beaten him. And then he beat him. I'm like, was that supposed to happen? Like, it was one of those. I'm like, all right, good for him.
Good crowd.
It wasn't all right. It was sort of a dull crowd. It was, you know, whatever. I skimmed around. There was a four-way women's match. Trisha Dora, who I'm a big fan of. Mm-hmm. She's very good. Anna Jay was in that, who continues to improve. So that was a fun match. Mm-hmm. Your Grizzled Young Vets, new champs in New Japan. They won one of the tag titles. Not like the main one. The other
one. Soon to become. See, you just can't keep a good tag team down, pal.
That's right. So you had that, so it was a decent show. 4 hours, maybe a little unnecessary for a Friday night New Japan show, so really? I skimmed through it.
What city were they in?
Lowell, Massachusetts.
Okay.
Mercedes made an appearance.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't wrestle, but she came out.
Okay. So that is kind of aggressive, the 4 hours, by the way.
Yes.
When they were here in Chicago, it was like a good almost three, which is fine. Mm-hmm.
Especially in Chicago, yeah.
It's just too long. 4 hours, yes. I can't. I was there. It's like, okay, but three's fine, but four, that's a little long. Okay.
And then the other match I had, we started talked about it a little earlier, FDR versus House of Black, which
last night,
surprise anyone. Minus the private party part, but yes, those four just going, job well done.
Did the finish surprise you?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Which I'm cool with, man. Like, I'm cool with House of Black getting that win. And FTR just kind of putting some people. I mean, they've talked openly about how this could be their last contract they sign. So if they're putting people over on their way out, helping out the, you know, obviously they've helped elevate the Outrunners. Like, good on them. Continue to put on great matches. Like, there's no shame in taking a loss to the House of Black.
And the fourth team, by the way, it's either LGI or the Acclaimed on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I think it's Beast Mordos and Roosh, I believe, is the team.
Yes.
So that should be a fun four-way.
Oh yeah, at Full Gear. That's gonna be good. I also, just because maybe the ending surprised me, because I assumed that Cole would win, but Takeshita going over Cole last night was a choice. I enjoyed them making that choice. So it wasn't the obvious, oh, we're going to have a three-way. Instead, it's just going to be Roddy Strong versus MJF at Full Gear, and Adam Cole has more to overcome.
Just because Dynamite has changed and just like how one segment blends into the other, I thought we were going full ECW with playing Adam Cole's song the entire time. Like, is anyone going to cut that music?
You gotta hit the boom.
Yeah. I mean, he's wrestling and still messing around with Takeshita and enough to be able to hit the boom.
Yeah.
Like 4 minutes. Yeah.
Rules are rules. You gotta hit it.
Cole knows that that's corny, but it's still cool. It's still cool to me. Mm-hmm. And it kept the music playing. I'm like, is anyone gonna stop this in the back? Nobody? No.
All right. Well, if it's gonna keep playing, I gotta.
Yeah. I just thought, just play it the whole time. That's what I want, the whole show. Cage and Page against White and Robinson. to start off Dynamite. Pretty solid match too. Four solid veterans there.
Yeah.
Very good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. More juice, the better. I'm always a fan of seeing him in the ring.
Hey, man.
Yeah, especially now he's back and healthy.
Yep.
He's very entertaining.
He's a madman.
Very entertaining. Yeah, I love it. I love it. I love the entertaining. Jade Cargill and Bianca Belair against Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez. Liv and Raquel does not seem like a good tag team. It's a little something off with that combination, but Jade and Bianca continue to look great together.
Is it the Raquel part that's the off part?
Yes.
Okay.
Just checking. Yeah. Can't work. Right. So, right. Hey, Liv, you know she can go.
Thought that was the answer. I don't know what answer you were expecting, Brian, but yes.
Just wanted to confirm, you know, make sure we have all our ducks in a row.
And just make sure everybody's on the same page here at GKW. We are building towards Survivor Series War Games. We are building towards Full Gear. It's going to be a busy end of the month of November. Make sure you check us out on YouTube if you have not. Comment, subscribe, check us out, youtube.com/@goodkarmawrestling. Take a look at all the different interviews we've done in the past if you happen to miss a lot of the great interviews that we have happened to do. We're going to be right back here next week getting you ready for a lot of pro wrestling on GKW.